CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is live on a Thursday already. We are here and we are ready to take care of you for the next 2 hours to start your day. I have some wicked weapons in the arsenal. We have Pinky Mokemane, we have Bulelo Tinta, we have Sia Samgweni, and we've got you. That's all we need. And Fundo Tlala, it's got to be said, he's also in the studio in Johannesburg making sure things operate. God knows what we would be doing without Fundo. Be screwed. So used to this now, aren't you? I mean, like, this is the way we do things now. We don't even think about it. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Yesterday I had my electricity cut off, and I thought, well, okay, I needed some options as to what would I have to do if the electricity isn't back by the morning, because all of my devices were out. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe I could go to the office. And then I really thought, go to the office?
I don't want to do that.
Do you even know where it is?
Get in the car and leave my house. It seems like such a foreign concept now.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly you get used to these things that have such monumental effect and change, and you know, we adapt so quickly. Amazing. So what's been happening, everybody? Pinks, how are you?
Gareth, I'm good. I'm back home. I was in Joburg for a couple of days and now I'm back home. So that feels great.
Okay, good. Very nice. I see you've got a little thing that says something on the wall behind you.
My sister. It says here, home is wherever my bunch of crazies are.
That's exactly right. That works for you.
And it's crazy here. It's ridiculous.
I think a lot of people have suddenly realized either that they love their families and they couldn't do without them, and they don't know how they've managed to live lives where they didn't see their families as much, or they hate them now.
Where are you on that scale, Pinky?
Oh, complete love. Complete love.
Because it's your sister and your nieces and nephew.
Yeah, and my little brother. He actually just left. He has to go to work.
Sure, that's a full house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole indoor soccer team.
Mulelo, when last did you see your mother?
That's a good question. She's not in 2020.
At all?
No, I've been. She lives in Limpopo. I live here.
But you talk to each other.
Do we talk to each other
all the time?
Oh my goodness!
She gives you a weekly therapy session.
I mean, any chance she gets. It's been all. Any chance she gets.
Isn't that convenient? I've never thought about it that much, but. Yeah, do you go to your mother like, Mom, you know, I'm feeling like I'm off balance with my life.
He'll
start off saying, Mom, I went for a run yesterday, and she'll go, and then, interesting, and she'll say, tell me more. And then before he knows it, he's inadvertently jumped into a psychoanalysis.
The older I've become, the better I've noticed when it heads that direction. So now, because, you know, Sia, you always have to manage up in life. A lot of people always think you have to manage the people below you. As I get older, I also have to realize I have to manage my mom.
Okay.
So, the older you get, you start to realize is that you don't just manage down and sideways. You have to manage the people above you. So my mom's been managed so that these psychoanalysis sessions don't happen too often.
Geez, so I can't imagine what it's like being a teenager where every third word is a lie to your parents, but having a mom who can practically see through you.
Oh, you go to boarding school. Yeah, you go to boarding school and you get the hell beaten out of you because your ego's too big.
Listen, Pinky.
What a life story.
I'm going to ask you something. You flew back to Joburg.
I did.
So what's the experience of flying like at the moment? And are there even flights, and how busy are they? Because I know, you know, my sister's boyfriend is a pilot and he's just had no work for the last 4 months.
Yikes.
So the first thing was even just getting into the airport. They had blocked every single point of entry, you know? So The driver had to drop me off at parking terminal 2 or something. But even just getting there was a mission because they were looking for documents. Where's your permit? Where's this? Where's that? So eventually I got to that point and the airport was empty. Empty, empty. It felt like, you know, the end of these zombie movies and there's like only a few survivors? That's how it felt. And when I got to the gate, I was at gate E9, there was literally no one. And I look at the time, I'm like, huh, but the boarding is only in 15 minutes, so where's everyone? And there was literally four passengers. Four. There was four of us.
What was that? Is that an SA Express?
A-Link. It was an A-Link.
You know, I used to fly every single weekend. I'd have a gig somewhere in South Africa, so I'd either be away on the Friday or away on the Saturday or away on both days. And that meant I've got a collection of stubs, those tickets that they tear off, you know, and they give it to you for your seat so you can find your seat on the plane. I kept all of them and I could wallpaper a whole room with just those. And now, like, I would not want to fly anywhere right now. And I'll get to the stage where I want to. One of my friends is having a baby in a couple of weeks' time, and we want to organize something for him. But otherwise, I'd have no reason to fly at the moment. And I'm kind of miss it. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to fly under these circumstances, because like you say, they make you feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how many police are involved in making sure people comply with lockdown regulations. What are these police going to do when all of this is over? I hope they go back and actually resume police jobs, like looking for the crooks. That would be nice.
Fair point.
So these four people on the plane with you, were you looking at each other like, guys, we're the last four people on Earth?
Yeah, we were. And whenever anyone received a call before we got onto the flight, you hear everything that they're talking about. So now I was in the conversations. I'm listening to this guy next to me. You could tell he's trying to brag, so I'm listening in, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lady behind
me. Invested in their lives now.
Jesus. And you all sat far away from each other on the plane.
No, they actually put us together. They said because of, I don't know, to balance the weight or something. Right. Yeah, they put us right in the middle.
That's freaky.
You know what, Gareth? Now that you're talking about the constant traveling, I mean, my life has been really good for the past 2 weeks now. Like, I'm really content to a point where when I was on that flight, I felt like something might go wrong because things are just too good to be true. And the fact that there's four of us, I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel good.
It's amazing. You know, I do have these fantasies where it happened at the beginning of lockdown to me as well, when I could see people were rushing to go and buy stuff and like holding themselves up in their house, and you could see they were planning for the apocalypse. And I do have this fantasy in my head of like the zombies, and it's probably just because I watched so many of those zombie TV shows and movies, and I think, oh yay, from tomorrow I'm going to be able to shoot zombies, because there are a lot of people who live pretty much like they're zombies. Mm. You can see those people kind of wandering around aimlessly, they've got this mad look in their eyes. You think you pretty much are already a zombie, whether you know it or not. If you rush at me now, I could take you out.
But you're thinking about just the enjoyment of shooting zombies. How about the discomfort of not being able to sleep properly because you have to look over your shoulders and you have to zombie-proof your house?
Man. And the anxiety, you know.
It's so exciting. Come on.
Oh.
And then you wake up at like 3 in the morning and all you hear is outside your window, and you're like, yes, zombie time. And you go, you turn on the lights and you see how many there are and you shoot the motherfuckers.
So would you move to like an anti-zombie kibbutz type of thing? Because naturally by yourself, eventually you're going to run out of bullets.
Yeah,
you're
correct. You have to.
Yeah.
No. I reckon, look, I mean, we've discussed this before and I don't want to bore the audience if people have already heard my zombie fantasy play out. But I've got a zombie team in my head of like 10 people maybe. maximum, no stragglers.
Which so does not include me.
I'm afraid not, Sia.
I'll leave you to the chat.
Bulela would be useful. I think he'd be Thank useful. You. Pinky, you might be, but although you would probably become less useful over time. Yeah. And then we would need food, lots of tinned goods, stuff that lasts a long time. We'd need lots of ammunition, need a lot of guns. We would probably need running water. I don't know if electricity is essential because it won't last very long anyway. So we'd have to learn to live without electricity. Plus, if you have electricity, it almost attracts the zombies, doesn't it? So you want to be quiet and you want to have no lights at night and that kind of thing. And then really, you just got to have the right people around you, people who are strong, who are clever, who are tactical, who are strategic. And honestly, no people who complain or hold you back or are slow or are fat. Sorry.
Yeah.
No time for those people.
Yeah. You have to be able to move. When the zombies come, you must move.
And you know, the important thing is, and I've spoken to military tacticians about this, you never actually have a base that you stay in forever. You constantly move. The whole point with warfare, and I suppose this is a kind of warfare, is you always have to keep moving. If you stay static, you become a very serious target and you accumulate enemies because they look at you as a prize. And it's the other humans. You've watched enough of these zombie movies, I'm sure, to know that the biggest threat isn't the zombies because they're pretty much brainless, right? It's the other humans who see that, there's those 20 people who have that fort over there on the hill. We need that fort on the hill and we need to take out those people. And then eventually it becomes too difficult to repel these people constantly. So you have to keep moving. And also by keeping on moving, by being nomadic, you also gather new resources all the time.
This is it. Jocko Willink, for those who are interested in warfare, served twice in Iraq. And he talks about exactly what you're talking about in terms of you have to keep moving. So he's a very interesting guy to actually hear him break down a real war situation where he had to lead troops. Wild. Jocko Willink, wild man.
Exciting times, huh?
Yeah.
All right, but enough about this fantasy of mine, because thank God it is just a fantasy. I mean, we've got close. You know, we're dealing with a lot of shit in our lives, but it's not yet at zombie apocalypse levels. So I have some breaking news for us this morning. Seems that a summons has been issued.
Heba.
Pinky, you would know about this.
Yes, I would, Gareth. I have my lawyer voice on now.
Okay, so ESCOM's former board, including Salim Essa, Brian Molefe, the Guptas, a whole lot of the people who were involved in the destruction of ESCOM to the point where it is now, ESCOM themselves have just released a summons, and the sheriff has been told to go and attach.
Where? Whom?
From all of these people. Any property he can find. So the sheriff is the guy who the court employs to go around and attach things that... So if you owe me money, Sia, and the sheriff comes, he's going to take your stuff and he's going to sell it and give me the money because you owe it to me. This is happening right now as we speak. The summons was issued on the 3rd of August and today's the 6th. So they're acting out on it now. And they're going to be a lot of people who will either go to jail or will have a whole lot of their stuff taken away from them. So we used to watch these people get away with it and go, they'll just be fine because, you know, they're politically connected and all the rest. Well, it turns out these people are now being chased down. So if you have any assets in this country and you're Brian Molefe or the Guptas or anyone else, today is not going to be a very nice day.
Because I love saying I'm the guy, I told you so. It's one of my favorite things in the world to say to anyone is I spoke to a mentor of mine when ESCOM got the CEO and they said, you have no idea what's coming. He said, this guy is not somebody to be mucked about with because he's had to do when you fire people, a lot of troubleshooting for him.
Yeah.
Previously, they've worked together. And he said, this guy, they don't know what's coming.
Oh, so, so he's unfuckwithable.
No, he said from the beginning. So
it's exciting, man.
It is awesome.
So we may see some justice being done over the next while.
Amen.
after what feels like 40,000 years.
You know, I also hear some murmurings, and we all listened yesterday. I played that clip of Shahan Ramkisoon just going after Pulemabe. And the ANC are in such a complex position right now because they can't pretend that they're just going to push this one under the carpet like they have so many other times. You know what I mean? So now they've got to take action whether they like it or not, or else the organs of state will take action as they should anyway. Maybe we'll spring, as I asked in the show last night, the TV show, maybe we'll spring Shamila Batoy into action finally, and we'll start seeing some activity in this area. I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm always hopeful, right?
Yes, we have to remain, hope springs eternal. You know what I wish we'd stop saying? I wish we'd stop saying the ANC and then put corruption. I want names every time. So-and-so did this and is corrupt, because people hide behind this thing and it's like, oh, it's this big monster organization. No. There's people there that are accountable. We must start saying their name every time. Stop saying the ANC is corrupt. Say Mbulelo Tinta is the corrupt, and here's what he did. Every time, we must shame them in public every time they act. It's sickening.
Man, shame.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's disgusting. So awesome. That's great.
Tell me what's going on Cliff Central Sport at the moment.
Oh, Gareth, we had a great show last night. Once again, those the guys from Brand Finance, who are the biggest sort of brand value consultants in the world.
You told me about this on Tuesday. How do you determine the value of a team like Manchester United or a player?
Or a league or anything. But they're the biggest consultancy in the world. So they don't just do sports. Sport is a small part. They do banking. They do big business. And so whenever you read it, whether you're in New York, whether you're in China, the reports come from these guys. They are the guys, along with Forbes, of course. So that was awesome last night. Tonight, we will have Morgan Newman, former Western Province Center. He'll chat a bit of rugby to us. So we're really looking forward to that.
Is it fun actually just making contact with some of these people? Because I know you're a sports fan. So for you to be able to call up a famous rugby player, soccer player, cricket player, manager from somewhere in the world, I mean, that must be quite a thrill.
You know what is a real thrill? And I must say, this is a pat on the back for Cliff Central, is when you contact people and you say, I'm at Cliff Central, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'm in. Really? 100. No, it's been a game changer. And
Jesus, it must be slim pickings out there for them.
But the beauty of this world now, and
nice,
a bit of modesty, is, you know, they can Google us. So when I do, I'm happy to kind of put our website. And then they're like, you know, they know who you are, and things get out. So the type of the people, by the way, that are overseas and we've got lined up coming up is very exciting, because we aren't just trying to be another Instagram live type show. Sure. We really are trying to get the best. So it's an absolute thrill, Gareth, an incredible, incredible thrill.
Well,
for me, yeah.
I mean, Sia's also aiming high for guests for the TV show, and that's got him excited too, because I know you love TV more than this, Sia. I mean, who doesn't know that you love Oprah, for example? It's hard work.
Producing?
No, it's hard work.
TV? No.
But you can finally approach people like, Oprah and those kind of people, and you can find a reason to talk to them without being just a fan.
I get that point, yes, but no, I love my Cliff Central more than that show. Let me tell you, I haven't been able to sleep properly on a Sunday night knowing we film on a Monday if we have international guests, because I know I might wake up and they're in a different time zone and something might have happened.
Yep.
You know, I now have dreams about this. I honestly
I'm sorry. It's horrible. And you put out 1,000 fishing lines, because now you're trying to get, you know, all these different people, and then someone will bite over here, but while that person's biting, this one starts biting, then you have to answer both calls, then you have to move this around, then this one can't do next week, but they can do 3 weeks' time, and it's a major logistical operation.
The other day, I was going to mention off air, but we didn't get to it on air either, was this weird dream that I had was so work focused. Firstly, I had looped all of you guys in so that we sleep in shifts. I felt like we were waiting for someone, like a response from a guest, and we just couldn't risk going to bed. So we were all just like sleeping in like 2 hour little blocks, and then we'd wake up and have you heard anything? And have you heard anything? And the second part of the dream was, I don't know why, but I was chatting to Phil from DeWitt Motors. Mm-hmm. And I had to prep the whole segment of the new car. And clearly, none of you guys thought this was weird at all. And you entrusted me to write down features of the car.
So talk, I was about, looking it, at talk this, about a car. Yeah, that would be.
Yes,
that would
so be I was disaster. Looking at this car going, ah, it is long. And I wrote that down. It is shiny. And I wrote that down. I thought, yep, this is it.
And you were having a nightmare. About
that's it. Good enough. It's long and shiny.
It has a steering wheel, it has wheels.
Do we have a segment to plan? What? Yes, it was all of these basic things. Work has now gotten into my dreams, I hope you know.
Yeah. I was having a coffee, I was having a coffee and somebody was talking about the show at the table next to us. It took everything in me. I never thought I'd be this person to not go to them and go, oh, I just want to be clear. I know the producer on that.
Were they saying nice things or shit things?
No. They were saying, well, I mean, they were clearly fans of yours, Gareth, and they were excited and they were having quite a fever pitch conversation about it.
Oh,
and
what a coinkydink!
So, but they were getting so loud, I could hear them. So I wanted to go and say, make it about me.
I did not.
You know, one of the weirdest things
was a great feeling
I've ever experienced is I was, I think I was at a concert or something, and there were people talking about what a douchebag I was, or how much they hated me, or whatever. And my friends were like getting incensed. I didn't care because I'm used to it. But my friends were saying, fuck you. Well, fuck those guys up. I was like, just calm down. You don't need to. Don't get involved in this.
Oh, no.
They hadn't seen me. And, you know, the problem is everybody's, like, people are all brave until they're right there next to you. And then suddenly they become like puppy dogs. So there was some big, bald douchebag who he was going, oh, you know, that Gareth Cliff. And I mean, I could hear him, but he hadn't seen me yet. And he was saying what an asshole I was and how rude I was to people and blah, blah, blah. I mean, always I get this rude thing. And I think it comes from the fact that if you speak your mind in this country, you're considered rude. This weird thing that you must be quiet and you must be humble. It's almost like that Victorian idea of children should be seen and not heard, you know. And I was never that kind of child either. So because in my 20s I spoke up about things and I would talk directly to politicians and stuff like that, I suppose I developed this reputation for being, in inverted commas, rude. Anyway, this guy was going on. My friends are getting really annoyed, and they're like, we'll beat him up. I said, no, don't worry. Just watch what happens. So then we kind of moved slightly forward, and this guy is carrying on, and he's getting like more and more like furious. And eventually he turns just enough to see me, and he shuts up immediately. He goes dead quiet, and then he kind of like... Almost, you know how someone, their body language changes and they kind of fold in on themselves?
Oh.
And then I walked straight up to this guy. I'm like, hi, how you doing? And I shook his hand. Oh, man, I'm such a big fan. I just pretended I hadn't heard anything and carried on. Fucking idiot.
Oh, no.
Really, this is ridiculous.
I would have needed a diaper change after that.
But people all, you know, everybody's got a big mouth and everybody's all full of themselves and then... Suddenly, when the shit hits the fan, they're like puppies.
But it must be cool because everybody's dream, whether they'll admit it out loud or not, is to be interesting. And interesting people are naturally divisive. You're not interesting if everybody likes you. You're like, get out of town with that.
I don't know, dude. Some people are very happy not being interesting. They don't actually. There are lots of people in the world who don't want attention, eh?
I don't know. There's a lot of people who aren't interesting. I can go that far with you.
What are you trying to say, Bulan? Or rather, who are you trying to name?
Oh, there's a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good week. All around good week. It's been a great week to be a part of. And Cliff Central, I must say, Gareth, I sent you a message. Once again, I'm happy to shout it from the rooftop. I went and saw people in our industry and how they do things. Because we're looking to grow what we do and collaborate and do things in
what
the 21st century.
What is this, at a radio station or a TV channel?
No, at a radio station. Yeah. I spent 2 days trying to engage in meetings, just seeing what they're doing, getting a feel whether they're hungry to actually live in the 21st century and collaborate.
Ooh, that's what we call a read.
Oh, my goodness. I am so proud, guys. I, you know, to all of our listeners and everybody that works here, is I am so proud to work where I work, because it was like I'd gone back and was going to a horse and carriage from having a Tesla. It was wild.
Let's go back to that iconic line: if they're hungry to be in the 21st century. Yeah.
Tito.
All right, some headlines this morning.
Shucks, yes, can we please move on?
Yes, six people were arrested in a multi-million land sales scam. Multi-million rand, sorry, sales scam. They appeared in the Polokwane Magistrates Court on Wednesday. The suspects, including a lawyer and a self-styled leader, the illegal occupiers of a farm outside Polokwane, are accused of selling sites on portion 41 of the privately owned Kalkfontein farm. The occupiers of the land, who were declared illegal in two court judgments, have since renamed the plot Murina Siaka View. The six who were arrested on Wednesday includes a lawyer and the leader of the homeowners association of this new Murina Siaka View. The other accused have also been remanded. Magistrate Janine Ungerer postponed the case to the 12th of August. But the land is privately owned by Blue Dot Properties, which acquired that from another company for 14 million rand in 2010. Residential sites then illegally sold to unsuspecting members of the public by the so-called Murina Siaka Homeowners Association have been seized. News 24 has seen documents that show that the sites were sold for 2,500 rand before the price increased suddenly to 120,000 rand. Yes, it's these amateurs, eh?
Wow.
So, you know, this is the problem with land is, you know, we it's a very emotive subject. But here's a company who bought the land. They can prove it. Here's a document that shows they paid money. Here's, you know, it's registered at the deeds office. This is their land, which is why land, as Pinky will tell us, includes lots of legal perquisites that other things do not. For example, you have to register it. There are transfer duties. So land is very much something that there is paperwork for. This is the problem, obviously, with claiming that land belongs to me, is you have to be able to prove it.
Yeah.
Because even if, you know, 400 years ago, someone came with a gun and said, get off my land, and that was called conquest in those days. And to be frank, that's why the Queen of England is the Queen of England, because her ancestors in 1066 just came with swords and basically murdered anyone who disagreed. Even if that's the case, and you could have a legitimate argument with someone over taking your land 400 years ago, the difficulty is that in between that person and the current owner, there have probably been a few sales and a few purchases of that same property. And some of those, especially the more recent ones, will be quite well documented. So you certainly just can't walk onto someone's land and claim it. These guys have been arrested, and that's what will happen to you if you occupy land illegally in the 2020 year.
Wow. So, Gareth, when I was still working at the Witzlo Clinic, I spent 6 months in the property unit, and it's crazy how many people approached us because they've bought land or a property, movable property.
Yeah.
And now they find out, or they've even went as far as to build, to renovate, you know, like went all out. And then later on, the owner comes and they're like, what are you doing on my property?
You can't just move onto someone's land.
Oh, man, it's the saddest thing ever. And some of these people have spent like their lifetime investments, you know?
It's sad when people have been scammed, really, yeah. And absolutely. They think they've done everything by the book.
And all they have to show that they now own the land is a slip, like a slip that's been written down that I, Pinky, give C.S. Sangweni this, and that's all that they have. They thought that was sufficient.
And the court will unfortunately not be able to help you if that's all
you've
got. Yeah,
it's the saddest thing ever.
Four people were detained after a shocking discovery of three bodies in a graveyard in 11 Oudtshoorn near Centurion in Gauteng. Provincial spokesperson Brigadier Matapelo Peters said the detention of the four was pending confirmation by forensics that they were murdered. So those four people were arrested for three bodies that they're supposed to have murdered. This comes after police on Tuesday evening, the 4th of August, received information from one of the four detainees that he and the other three suspects, including his mother, had killed and buried the bodies. See, this is why if you're going to be involved in a murder, don't get other people involved, even if they're relatives of yours and you think you can trust them. Talk about a zombie apocalypse team. Man, if you have other people involved, one of them is going to have a crisis of conscience, and they're going to bust you.
100%. This is the takeaway you're getting from this horrific story.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
I have a story about somebody who did something to me, which I absolutely resent yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah?
So they phoned me to tell me about their cheating in a relationship. It's exactly the same thing.
You become an accessory.
Thank you. Don't put me in your lies. Don't put me in your lies. So I agree with you so much on the murder thing. If you're going to murder somebody, that's a one-man thing.
Yeah, but please, the more you involve other people, the less likely you are to get away with it. You must do it on your own. That other person has and this is good for the ANC to remember as well. Comrades, when you've all been stealing from the till together, there's going to be a point where the law comes to squeeze all of you. And one of the people they squeeze is going to be weaker than the others. And they're going to split on the rest of you. And then, comrades, you're going to have some ugliness. Because once one person starts telling stories, then the others start telling stories as well. And before you know it, all of you are in jail.
Killed by yourself.
But also, I'm really not making light of the situation. Whose great grand idea was it to bury the bodies in a backyard?
No, a graveyard. No, that was, I think, quite clever. They put them in a graveyard.
Yeah.
What's the one?
It was a graveyard?
Yeah, they're not animals. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was someone's backyard. I thought that was going to be stupid.
Anyway, we'll see what happens there. They're investigating now to try and find out what the hell did happen. Joe Biden, the 77-year-old presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, pushed back strongly in an interview aired on Wednesday at a reporter who asked if he's taken a cognitive test. No, I haven't taken a test, Biden told them. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying before you got into this program, you took a test where you're taking cocaine or not, Biden said. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie? President Donald Trump, who's 74, has repeatedly claimed that Biden's mental abilities are slipping while touting his own capabilities. Now, take Trump out of it, because that's not a good comparison. Joe Biden, to the average observer, is not all there and hasn't been for ages. I've got a clip where Robin Williams is joking. Robin Williams has been dead for a number of years now, right? Joking about how crazy Biden is. And he's laughing about how Joe is just on the stream of consciousness, talks a lot of shit, smells people's hair. He's weird. And if he isn't weird, he's also senile. So forget about Donald Trump, because the minute you put Biden and Trump against each other, it becomes about their personalities. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about whether this guy is together or not. The CBS reporter who was interviewing the vice president, as a part of a convention of Spanish and black journalists, noted that Trump brags about having aced a cognitive test. Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, Biden said. I know you're trying to goad me, said Biden, but I mean, I'm so forward-looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in the election debates. So this is interesting, because his campaign is dead against him debating Trump. I want to know why. If he's so together and Biden's got all his shit worked out, why won't he debate Trump? Because he's in no hurry to do that.
What just struck me in what you said, he'll be 85 if he wins. Because American presidents always sit two terms. Whether you like it or not, Trump wins.
There's been a few that haven't.
Well, it's been a long, long time. I mean, who's the last one that didn't sit two?
Bush. George H.W. Bush.
Yeah. Exactly. How long ago is that? Because there's a reason they set it up that way. Is they want the stability for the global. Anyway, let's not get into that. He's going to be 85. I've always said, and I've been accused of ageism, is that for me there should be a cap on presidents, not because I'm saying
on age.
Yes, and I believe it should be 50 at most, because for one of the reasons is that at that age you are able to still think of the next generation. I think the older you get, you should be more in business, advising business people with that wisdom. I think our best and brightest should be in business. The young. Politics is a game for the young. You've got to have that energy to keep driving forward and think of a next generation. If you're 77, it's hella hard to think about 50 years' time, to be
and
honest.
And in Biden's case, it's hella hard to just think about lunchtime.
Nice tried.
All right, well, this Joe Biden, I wouldn't want to be him at the moment. I mean, even though he is preferred just because he doesn't have an abrasive personality like Donald Trump, he's not all there. And you can watch any interview he's done recently from his basement, where he refuses to come out of, by the way. And you'll see the guy's just crazy. He's crazy old Joe. And people joke about it, but no one's excited about this. People in the Democratic Party are like, well, it's all about the vice presidential candidate, who's supposed to be announcing this week. And watch, when he does announce it, he'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Like, it'll be a surprise to him as well. Quaden Bales, who's that again? Bulelo, you know.
Quaden Bales?
He's an Australian boy who was bullied for his dwarfism, remember?
Oh, yay!
Has launched legal action against a newspaper columnist after she alleged he had faked his distress in a video that went viral. Quaden Bales drew global support earlier this year, including from high-profile entertainers and sports people. His mother said she'd posted the clip to raise awareness, but some, such as Australian columnist Miranda Devine, suggested it was just a scam over subsequent donations. Devine and her employer, News Corp Australia, are yet to file a legal defense. An online campaign was set up by a U.S. comedian who had the same dwarfism condition to send him on a trip to Disneyland. That's clever. Send a dwarf to Disneyland. Nice. Fucking people have no idea, huh?
This whole thing is just ridiculous, though.
Yeah, eventually these people, the Bales family, later pledged to give all the money to charity. But at the peak of the campaign, they were attacked by trolls who said the family had staged the incident. I remember someone sent me a video and said, this is bullshit. This guy's he's pretending to be bullied. Anyway, so in subsequent tweets, this woman had alleged that Quaden's mother had been coaching the kid to say things that no 9-year-old would say. The family filed a defamation lawsuit against her. And News Corp Australia declined to apologize to the family, saying in March that it bore no responsibility for this presenter Devine's tweets, as it was self-evidently a personal account. But this is still in the news. Why?
I think we're missing the real story here. She really should be going to court for naming her child Quaden.
I mean, isn't that and especially a dwarf. You call a dwarf.
Thank you.
I mean, really, why do you want to do that to a dwarf?
They're Australian, it sounds right.
John Smith for a baby, or for somebody with problems, or something like that, where they've already
someone
got...
with problems.
Well, clearly. I mean, if you're putting your baby out there and they're being bullied...
Yes, give them as simple a name as possible.
That's what I mean. No, I don't mean the physical problem. I'm saying clearly if the baby's been bullied.
Or you don't mean
is,
that.
Is what I meant. Yeah. So,
oh, my God.
There's no way for you to make yourself sound better now.
I know. I'm going to be put in a grave in Centurion.
I just think they're just trying to make more money out of the situation.
Finally in the news, a blast that killed 135 people and injured more than 4,000 others in Beirut has begun a 2-week state of emergency in its wake. The president, Michael Aoun, said that the blast was caused by 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate, we called it, stored unsafely in a warehouse. Customs chief Badri Daher said his agency had called for the chemical to be removed, but this did not happen. How do you just leave 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate just lying around? Really, guys? You know, if you think about explosive factories, usually you have to have like a kilometer or two around the factory that's just empty. Yeah. So that if it does explode, you've got like a 2-kilometer blast zone around the factory that nobody else can be injured, no other damage to property can occur, just in case something goes wrong. Because apparently this was caused, people are now speculating, by welding. There was welding happening at a factory next door, and the sparks from the welding transferred across to the chemical storage facility. I mean, you can imagine what that did.
Oh, my God.
If you don't, you can't imagine it, just watch the videos. Anyway, opening an emergency cabinet meeting on Wednesday, the president said, no words can describe the horror that hit Beirut last night, turning it into a disaster-stricken city. Specialists at the University of Sheffield in the UK estimate the blast had about 1/10 the explosive power of the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. A tenth of that.
Good gracious.
Mm.
Good gracious. So now our head's going to roll there because things like that don't just happen. That's an egregious oversight. That is an egregious oversight.
So the head of the Beirut Port Authority told local media that they'd written to the judiciary several times asking that the chemical be exported or sold on to ensure port safety. Port General Manager Hassan Koratiem said that he had been aware the material was dangerous when a court first ordered it to be stored in the warehouse, but not to this degree. I've got some ammonium nitrate.
Yeah, but
how much?
It's okay in a lab.
Like 500 grams. And you know that it takes a lot to make that dangerous. For example, you actually have to detonate it. Now, detonating something doesn't mean just setting it on fire. It requires a huge amount of heat and some shock to actually start a reaction. I mean, you can heat ammonium nitrate. The interesting thing is if you heat it gently, here's a bit of nerdy chemical stuff that only Mbulelo and I are going to care about. But if you heat ammonium nitrate gently, you know what you get? Laughing gas.
Sorry.
N2O.
Yes.
What's the definition of gently? Do you have to just...
No, you just warm it. You warm it slowly over a flame. And you will get N2O, nitrous oxide.
See, this is why I didn't do well in science. See, my corp is just stuck on gently. I didn't get stuck on the formula and what happened there. I was just thinking, what's gently? Do you have to rub it?
It's one of those chemicals that decomposes. So the bonds, nitrogen bonds, if you want to get super nerdy at this time of the morning, nitrogen bonds are extremely strong. Because in N2, for example, there are three bonds between those two nitrogen atoms. So they really have very, very strong connections. And to break them releases an enormous amount of energy. That's why so many explosives contain nitrogen.
What's the biggest kaboom you can make?
No, there's lots. What kind of question is that?
You can make as big a kaboom as you want.
From what you have in your lab, you can
blow
up like your house.
No,
you need large quantities to make large explosions. But there are some chemicals that outperform their size in a big way.
Yeah, and by the way, an interesting thing is this is why laughing gas is such a problem. It's becoming a real problem in the British working class. They call it hippie crack, if you want to look it up. See,
yeah?
The laughing gas thing, because what the guys will do is that they'll inhale it straight from a balloon, and you do get a buzz. It's a big, big problem in the UK.
Well, did you ever have the dentist give you laughing gas?
I didn't know.
They used to. Dentists used to use it because it's an anesthetic.
No, it
does make you laugh. Puts you in a bit of a high. All right, we got to talk to Sean Sanders because it's the last time we're speaking to him for some time. So we got to make the most of it. Hey, Sean.
Morning, Gareth. Morning, team. How are you guys all doing?
Good, man. Are you at the office this time of the morning?
I am indeed. It's only well-lit space. Everything at home is dark. And, you know, if you're paying rent every single month to be in an office, why not be there, right?
Well, that's what we're feeling as well. But let's get to the important stuff. Our last Revix feature in the campaign that we've been, feels like talking to you for a long time. I mean, you've become part of the family. So let me just preface this by reminding you that the world has changed, in case you didn't know, in case you've looked around and, oh, wow, after all these months, suddenly I've noticed something. Well, your investments should be changing too. If they aren't, you need to ask yourself why not. In a market that we've never seen before, don't guess, diversify. That's where Revix comes in. They're an intelligent investment platform that allows you or anyone else anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or bundle of assets in just a few clicks. Now, Sean, I actually went on and FICA'd myself, so I'm now a legal and responsible person online in terms of my investments. But it's so easy. All you have to do is go along. You can register for free. If you have any questions, they've got a great team of people who can help you answer them. And, of course, every week that we have spoken to Sean, he's given us some useful advice on what the economy is up to, where the money is going, what's happening to some of the big investment categories, and this morning is no different. So, gold, because we've been on such a run, broke through a new all-time high. Tell us about that.
So there was a few booms this week, right? And one of those was gold boom. I'm sorry, I know it's too soon, but...
You're wrong.
No, go ahead. I love that.
I joined the show as you guys were talking about that, so I thought it was worthwhile starting off with that.
Go on.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what, the last six podcasts? I actually started listening to them yesterday. Everyone has started off with the same story. Gold hit a new all-time high. If it wasn't a new all-time high, it was a new record high.
Well, and how clever are you that you've brought PAX Gold into the mix at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I'd love to claim the fact that I was just clever and chose that. It was more just, I guess, a lucky moment. But yeah, I mean, we've said all along that we believe that gold is one of the best investment options since the start of this year. I was part of a panel that was discussing where to put your money or where to put exactly 10,000 Rand earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And my two options of where to put cash, one was in Bitcoin and the other was in gold. And both have done very, very well this year. So call that luck, call that some good predictability on my side. But anyway, so gold at $2,060 an ounce, which is a new all-time high. It's remarkable. It's up 55% over the last 12 months. It's up 30% in 2020. That's in dollar terms, not even in rand terms. Factor in the rand's depreciation, and that skyrockets even further. And you know, all the stars are kind of just aligning for a continuous increase in the price of gold. And I'm not one to ever want to predict future prices, but you've seen the likes of Goldman Sachs, you've seen the likes of UBS Bank, Citigroup. They've come out and they've said, well, listen, gold could go up to $3,000. And if you're looking at where we are today, you've got global interest rates that are at record lows. And what does this mean? It means that if you had to put money in the bank, you're not exactly earning that much interest from it, which makes gold a little bit more appealing. You've got a pandemic of unparalleled proportions, which means, again, like, what's the best place to put your money again in gold? Because it is the safe haven of choice. The dollar's weakened recently, which increases the appeal of gold. And global central banks, and we've spoken about this tons on the show, but they've printed $10 trillion of new cash into the economy. You have $10 trillion of new cash coming into the economy with the same number of assets, give or take a few billion, which isn't really too much when you're looking at trillions.
Yeah.
And prices of things have to start increasing over time. I mean, all that cash has to go somewhere, and it takes quite a while to filter through the system. And that's the real opportunities when you're looking 2, 3, 4, 5 years out in the future, and you see the price of gold potentially being, you know, 30-40% higher than where it is today.
So gold is obviously doing very well at the moment because things are so uncertain and people use it as a safe haven. We've discussed this a few times. But Bitcoin is interesting because I think slowly it's starting to come into its own now. There was that massive run in, 2017? And then suddenly a massive crash. And a lot of the doomsayers were saying, oh, well, that's the end of Bitcoin. But Ethereum has also been doing quite nicely. And obviously, you've got different kinds of categories in which you guys invest. And there is the portfolio that, for example, tracks the applications for these things. And there's the portfolio that's just the top 10. Now, why do you think everything in that category seems to be increasing as well in value?
It's not a very straightforward question, but I think what you're seeing in the crypto space is you've got a very high correlation between the different cryptocurrencies. Every now and again, you'll see a change or divergence between, let's say, like Ethereum and Bitcoin. And it's those periods of maybe 2 to 3 months where you see very, very stark changes. And I mean, you've seen that recently with Ethereum versus Bitcoin. Ethereum's up roughly about 140% year to date. Bitcoin's up about 35-40%.
Yeah.
And that very big change, those generally start to kind of even out over time. And you've got different cryptocurrencies that move out into the top 10, they move out of the top 10. The crypto market is changing the entire time. And that's why we've said all along, don't try to time this market. Don't try and guess which cryptocurrencies are going to be the success stories. Rather own a diversified basket of crypto and invest over the long term. And I've said this every single week on the show, and I'll say it again today. Don't think about this market as a quick in and out. It is going to be a long-term opportunity for you. Right. And this is the emergence of a new asset class. Look at this over 5 years' time and look at this as an opportunity to increase your investment by a 2, 5, or 10x return. And yeah, you're taking a ton of risk doing that. Just understand that, and obviously don't bet your life savings on it. Invest as much as you feel comfortable investing. And yeah, as I said, you know, don't over allocate to any single cryptocurrency. Bitcoin's the biggest today. I mean, if you look back in the early 2000s and you're looking at tech stocks, I mean, which were the biggest names there? Look at the big names today. Times change and investments change, and that's why you needed an investment.
But the real question that everybody's excited about answering, or perhaps are trying to avoid answering, is how much higher can it go? How much higher do you see the crypto market going?
that this is the funny thing, and again, I've said this actually on the show before, but it is always too late for everyone at some point in time. And if you're looking at, you know, early 2017, that's before the big bull run. I mean, even hell, 2015,
right.
I was turning around to people saying, I've missed this. I can't believe I've missed crypto as an asset class. I thought this was going to be, you know, something that was going to grow really quickly, and I wish I'd jumped on board sooner. And people are saying that again today. They've gone, oh, Bitcoin's grown, you know, Ethereum's increased, all your other assets within your bundle have increased. But you're missing the bigger picture here. You're looking at a short-term movement. And if you look out and you zoomed out over some of the biggest performance graphs, so take a look at Microsoft, take a look at Amazon, those little kinks, the tiny little dip in price or the tiny little increase in price that you see, those were this entire period of cryptocurrency's existence. And if you look out then over a longer period of time, and as long as the trend's moving upwards, that's really what you want to invest in. So this market can increase. And I mean, this is the opportunity really. This market can increase 2, 5, 10, 20, 50 times. Right. I mean, it is currently 0.02% of global assets in terms of dollar value. So it is a tiny market. And if it can just disrupt one other market, whether that is global remittances, whether that's, you know, potentially helping a country like Venezuela or Zimbabwe and becomes the currency of choice, that's where there's huge opportunity. And I mean, Bitcoin and crypto in general is being used today. It is live, it's breathing, it's growing, and there's so much happening under the hood.
Okay, we're not going to be talking to you for a while, but I do want to quickly get this out there. I see some new theme-based investments are coming soon. So can you quickly tell us about that? That's like a tease on what you've got planned for the future.
Yeah, so this is something that I'm really excited about. And hopefully you guys will get quite excited about it as well. So if you've ever wanted to invest in AI, biotech, esports, 5G, medical cannabis, cloud computing, cybersecurity, you know, e-commerce, food delivery, and you don't really know how, we kind of want to be the solution to help you invest in those areas. So these are areas that you are passionate about. These are areas that you just can see are growing and booming, but you just don't know how to get exposure to them. And we want to have a very simplified investing approach, as simple as it is today investing in our bundles. It is literally a case of invest as little as 500 Rand into areas that you believe in. And we believe that that's going to be a big part of Revex's future, as well as some really cool automated investment features. So one of the features we'll be introducing is Auto Invest. Now, Auto Invest is where you set a select amount, so say every single 2 weeks or every month, you invest 2,000 Rand into the investment bundle of your choice. So say you're into cannabis, you think medical cannabis can really be a big thing, you select 2,000 Rand that's invested there automatically every single 2 months. And it's the best way to dollar cost average into the market. And then something else, which is really, really cool, is our trigger happy function. So this trigger happy function that we're going to be launching is sort of like an Excel document. Maybe that's the nerd in me jumping out, but the Excel document approach to saving. Now that doesn't really sound too sexy, but imagine being able to create rules with yourself. So imagine being able to say, okay, if I don't walk 10,000 steps in a day, fine me 500 Rand. How many, you would walk 10,000 steps a little bit more. Sure. If you support Chelsea and Chelsea's playing Man United every so often, and if Chelsea loses, like fine me, make the pain worse. Like let's increase, you know, our engagement with certain things. If it rains, you know, let's deduct some money from your accounts and automatically invest it. And it's those sort of little triggers where it's always a win-win that we're looking to introduce. So that's kind of what we have planned in the near future with Revex, which is quite exciting.
I love it. I remember when you got back from London, you were just starting to play around with other people's money, not just your own. I said to you, here's some money, and this is just because we're friends. And I'm sure that everything that I've done with you since then has been tremendously successful. I wish you the best of luck going forward, dude. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
And well done on all the success that you've had with Revex up to now. It's hard as nails to start something new, and to start something new in the economy that we're currently in, and your business is still quite new, is really brave. But it seems to me that you are on the money. And you know, anyone who wants to go and look at what kinds of things Revex has been up to, it's all on the internet. You can go and see revex.com. Go and sign up and let Sean make some good decisions on your behalf with his team. And they track all the best in cryptocurrency indices. They also have this amazing Pax Gold feature, which you can get on the gold train with. Go and take a look at Revex. They're also on social media at Revex Invest, and you will be happy you did. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Tim, and thank you so much for the last few weeks.
It's been fantastic. We'll catch up soon. Thanks, Sean.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Cool. There's Sean Sanders, Revix.com, if you want to find out more. Go and sign up today, verify your ID, add funds, and select the bundle of your choice. All happening. Okay, so when we come back, we will start the burning platform for this morning. It's going to be great. Why? Because it's always great. We have great guests. We have interesting people. Unati Kwaza joins us today again. She is not afraid of controversy, and she gets herself into arguments on social media all the time with people. So if you want to hear Unati in full flight, she's coming up next with Kanthan Pillay, and we will be talking about all the things that are going on in politics in South Africa at the moment. Unati very famously supported Futsak ANC last Friday. And I'm not surprised.
What is that? Is that a movement, a hashtag? So, what's going on?
So listen to the burning platform.
Sounds
then.
Like a song.
Yeah,
wow. I'll explain it just after 7.
I love it.
How would the song go?
Futsak ANC.
Yes. Put Azamufukati, it's a hit.
That's so funny. Have you seen that the Jerusalema dance challenge has been taken everywhere? No? Have you seen that?
That blew up, eh?
Yes, they're everywhere. Everywhere in the world, they're busy doing that Jerusalema challenge. So I thought we'd
It reminds me of Mum Jane.
Oh, yeah, she can. I miss Jane. All right, here it is.
CliffCentral.com.